Glory to God. So happy you're still here. Really am. Hopefully I won't bore you, but I got something important to say. And if the two messages you've heard today, or three with Sister Laura, haven't affected you, then something's wrong with you. Just saying, if I wasn't a missionary, I would already be having the Lord tug it at my heart and say, go. Just saying. Acts chapter 8, verse 37, please. Just want to thank the Lord that my wife and kids are here with me. It's an amazing thing, and I thank the church for that, for this amazing gift. I thank my Lord for his grace and mercy. I know that you guys were wondering if I was still married or not. So yes, I am. My wife is. Yes, praise the Lord. I am very blessed, as Brother Lindell keeps repeating to me and say, you're very, very, very blessed. Very, very blessed. And God is very merciful. He keeps, I don't know if maybe he just thinks I'm not worthy of that. I guess I'm not. But praise the Lord for mercy, you know, and grace. Yeah, we are not worthy of anything. So I want to praise my Lord for all he has done for me. I'm going to read from verse 36, Acts chapter 8, verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, I'm not going to be talking about baptism. I want to use that phrase, what doth hinder me? Because I'm afraid too many of us Christians are being hindered of doing our duties. And there are a lot of hindrances in this world and a lot of hindrances that are keeping us from doing. And especially, I want to concentrate on what is hindering from Christians from surrendering to the mission field. Because I feel that we have this church supports and prays, and I praise God for that. I have a feeling that too many of us are willing to say, there are too many hindrances, let somebody else do it. And I want to put the fire under you, and I'm going to try tonight, and for the rest of when I have my messages, I have prepared more in the direction of, I want to see someone surrender to the mission field. I don't know if you've noticed, but the missionary pictures are slowly dwindling. For whatever reasons, there are different reasons, good reasons, and I praise the Lord for those who are out, and I praise the Lord that you were there. I praise the Lord that you were there and you're helping, and I'm not putting anything on those who have come back, but the fact is, there are only five left. Who is going to be the next generation of missionaries? As we heard from Brother Don, there are more people who are out there who need the gospel. And there are countries and cities that have nobody on the streets. These people are saying, what took you so long? What's taking you so long? What's hindering you from coming here? There are too many hindrances. I believe there are three major hindrances there probably are more, but the three that I came up with, because I didn't want to bore you and I don't want to make this drag on any longer, but I want to talk about three major ones that have come to my mind. The first one is fear. Fear. And it's paralyzing. It's so paralyzing. I believe my dad was saying to somebody that there was a missionary who was so scared of passing out a track in the metro that he was just in the corner hoping that someone would come to him and get a track. And he just didn't want to, couldn't get that track out because of fear. That's a paralyzing thing. And many, very, very often, the fear of man is really paralyzing in men on many levels, especially when someone wants to get saved. They're afraid of what their neighbors will say or their family will say. And then we go on into, okay, you're saved. Now we're afraid to get out there and pass our tracts. And there have been people come to us after they've been saved and say, we will not go on the streets with you. Do not even ask us. We do not want to do that because we are afraid. That's a legitimate reason. Fear. Fear of man. Psalms 56, please, if you may turn there. I'm going to try to be as brief as I can, but I got something important to say. And I want you to listen, please, if you don't mind. 56, 3 and 4. Psalm 56 says, 3 and 4, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I think Psalmist was afraid sometimes. I think David was afraid. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being afraid? Him? The one who killed lions? Bears? Goliath? The one who chopped his head off? The victories he's won? And yet he says, what times I am afraid? Fear. It's a paralyzing thing. As somebody mentioned in one of the morning meetings, bungee jumping. Have you ever tried it? I have. Now, you may not know it because Corey forgot to record it. I recorded his and Josh Kendall's, but he forgot to record mine. And all you hear is like, oops. That's all you hear at the end of my recording. As I'm dangling upside down. Oops. I did it, though. That was not fun. I mean, it was fun later, but at first, man. That pillow down there that was enormous up down the bottom, when you get up there, it's about this small. 90 meters up in the air, you're looking down like, all right, Lord, this was kind of a stupid idea. Well, I had to do it because I was getting married in 6 months, and I know for sure my wife was not going to let me later on, and 16 years later, she hasn't. Fear paralyzes us. What some might do to you. Maybe you're afraid of going down to Mexico because you've heard stories. That's a legitimate reason. That is a scary thought. But are we going to let that hinder us? Are we going to let fear dictate that someone may go or may not go to hell because we're afraid? What if because of you and your decision, you have made a decision to not go somewhere, and because of that decision, the ripple effect becomes that someone did not hear who could have heard because of fear? Let's not let that happen. Fear of man is a very disabling and paralyzing thing. People talk about that all the time. I don't want to dwell on this, but that is a major, major issue. David himself said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Trust in God. He will take care of you. Even if your time is due, whenever the time is due, no matter what, that will happen, no matter where you are. Why not give your life to the Lord and let him take care of you and do something with your life instead of being afraid and sitting at home and then you have a heart attack because you've been eating too much? Why not get on the streets and, okay, fine, something may happen to you, but you're doing something. Why waste our lives sitting around doing nothing? Why waste our lives enjoying all the pleasures of the world? For what? For how long? A fleeting moment. And it's here and gone. The money that we spend, the things we do. Fear. Fear of language. Maybe another one. And you probably heard, Polish is one of the hardest languages in the world. Yeah, I can tell you it's not easy, right? It's not easy, bro. It's not easy to speak Polish. It's really not easy. But really, are you going to say that God can't help you overcome the language barrier? Are you saying the God of creation, the God who is the author of languages, who confused all those in the time of Babel and made languages, cannot teach you, cannot give you the ability, the mentality? Have you even tried? Have you given it? Have you even attempted? Like, oh, that's too hard for me. No, I'm not going to even try. Are you going to let that hinder you from preaching someone the gospel? Are you willing to let his souls die and go to hell? Because it might take a little bit of time to learn a language. Yeah, it might take time. Yeah, it might be, you might make a fool of yourself. Yeah, and that's another fear of making a fool of yourself and people laughing at you. Yeah, I've made a lot of times a fool of myself standing up and preaching a message and saying bad words, saying things, and everybody, I had no idea that was even a bad word back then. Like John, that one time. Brother John, you know that story. No idea. My wife was like, cut. Stop! Can't say that! And everybody's laughing and enjoying their time. I had no idea. Yeah, you might make a fool of yourself because of the language. Why are you willing to disobey a direct order from God just because the language barrier that you might have at the beginning and just say, no, I'm going to let that be the real reason why I don't go, because God is calling someone. I can almost feel it that God is calling someone, but someone is being hindered because of fear, because of something happening, and you are being hindered, and you do not want to go. You do not. You are disobeying a direct order. How many Christians have already surrendered to a mission field where there wasn't even a language written? Have you thought of that? Praise the Lord, you don't have to write the Polish language. And we might have done a little bit better job, made it a little bit simpler, changed a few rules, changed the grammatical structure and those endings, different ways that you can say go and come and a million different ways. Yeah, but you don't have to do it all yourself. It's already there. Just learn it. Maybe you're scared of fear of culture. Fear of a foreign culture that is really could be the culture shock. Yeah, I experienced it. Culture shock is not fun. Coming from Mexico, where everything's happening in the streets, kids are playing, things are happening, and you go to Poland, which is September, mid-September, and you go out and you look on the streets and... Where are the people? What happened? Are there no kids here? What is going on? And I spent 2 months in my room just looking out the window thinking, what world is this? What is this? Where am I? What am I supposed to do now? In Mexico, the moment you moved in, you basically had friends because they're under looking out the window, looking through, because right on the streets, they're looking through, and you have, hey, what's up? Well, you know, come on in. You know what? Come see. And you got friends immediately. In Poland, it took me a couple months before I met kids. It was weird. I didn't like it. I didn't understand what's going on. Culture shock. Yeah, it's a hard thing. But is that going to be the thing that hinders you? You just don't like a little bit of discomfort, a little bit of problematic in your life, things getting outside of your comfort zone? Is that what's going to hinder you from going and preaching to those who are lost? Yeah, people might laugh at you. Yeah, people will laugh at you. I can guarantee it. Well, people laugh at you here. You're a freak already. If you're a Christian and have any worth your salt, you're already a freak. You're already weird because you're a Christian. And you are not scared to say it. Well, if you're not scared to say it here and people are going to laugh at you here, go over there. What's the difference? Just be laughing at you in a different language. As Brent often does, he doesn't understand half the things they're saying anyways. All the curse words, he had no idea. Like, water off a duck's back. It was no problem for him. We're over there, whoa. That was bad. And he's like, didn't understand a thing. Didn't bother me a bit. I'm like, okay, good for him. Praise the Lord. I guess he would never taught all the bad words, but my friends taught me all the bad words from day one, basically, when I went to school, unfortunately. Now, you might be afraid of the distance from your home. away from mom and dad, away from what's known, away from the comforts of home, it's not the same. It's not the same over there when you get on a foreign field. It's not as glamorous as people may, as other people try to point it out and say, yeah, it's great. You have a, you know, like the Navy, go and see the world. Yeah, right. From a ship. Yeah, you're going to go and you're going to see the world, but you're going to see it from a world, you from a perspective you've never seen it before. Yeah, it's not fun. I can guarantee you it's not easy. And I don't want to sugarcoat anything or blind you or tell you all the good things. No, I want to tell you the truth. It is not easy. It is difficult. There are days when you say, what am I doing? And people ask me, don't you miss home? You know, I've been on the mission field basically my whole entire life. So I'm kind of confused what home it really is. Basically, home is wherever my wife is at. That's home. So I say, I'm home. My wife is here, so I'm home. I don't miss it at all. My wife is with me. My kids are with me. I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed man. But, you know, there are some people who really cannot leave home. Cannot leave the comforts of what America has to offer. It's too difficult. The comfort of home is a powerful thing, isn't it? Americans, we like our comforts of life. Materialism is a huge issue here in America. My wife and I were just shocked. I mean, everywhere we go, just everything you desire at a decent price. Really? You think it's expensive, but man, we were saying, man, we even looked at it today. We went to Costco. Yeah, we went to go buy some dental floss. Yeah, we went by. Yeah, we had some. Yeah, we put some extra, yeah, size of a hose. And we're looking at this stuff, and we looked at a kitchen mat. It's a simple kitchen mat. You can step on and just, my sister has one. Like, I need one of those for my home. Sit on that kitchen mat. It's nice and comfortable. Looked at it in Costco, $25. Not bad. Looked on in Polish website, $250. $200 for that same kind of mat. Like, whoa. I don't think we need that. Yet. We'll wait for it to kind of go down a little bit. But, man, the materialism is everywhere. The cars you have. The trucks, the size of the trucks. Good grief. What do you need that size of a truck for? Are you really going off-roading every day in the mud? Seriously. What is the reason for those entire... I mean, sometimes I look into my mirror. Brother Billy gave me the Buick, right? I'm looking back in my rear mirror. All I see is tires. Good grief. I'm going to get over. That guy is a monster truck coming right behind me. Good grief. The cars you have, the muscle cars, everywhere you look, there's Mustangs, there's Chargers. Good grief. When we see one of those in Poland, we're like, did you see that? Here is like old news. Nothing new. Got them everywhere. No big deal. They're so cheap. Everything is just at hand, ready. You want it? Go get it. You have it? Get a credit. Not a problem. It's not so easy when you're on a foreign field, when you have a budget, when you got to think, when you got a plan, when you got a church to support, when you got tracts to print, when you got things and billboards you want to get out and things to plan. You just can't do whatever you want to do. Not as easy. Yeah, fear. Fear of the distance, fear of man, fear of culture, fear of the language. Those things are just absolutely paralyzing sometimes. But are we going to let that hinder the gospel? I sure hope not. I sure hope we can say what David said. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I will trust in the Lord that he has everything under control. And I know that he will get me through this. Going on. The second major thing that I believe is a hindrance to people not surrendering to the mission field is misunderstanding what it means to be called as a missionary. To be called, the calling, as we call it. You know, I'm called, and what does it mean to be called? You know, do I get a phone call? You know, what does that mean? Charles Spurgeon said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. You either try to spread abroad the kingdom of Christ, or else you do not love him at all. Every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. What is he trying to say? You have the obligation to teach and preach the gospel of Christ wherever you are. Which means, as a preacher, wherever you are, you're in a foreign country. You're in a foreign field. You are preaching. You are a missionary. You're doing the work if you're doing that. Now, let's just take it to another country. What's the big deal? Let's just do that. There are four things, and I'm going to try to be very brief on this. First thing that people talk about not being about the calling is, I am not called to missions. We're all missionaries. We all have their obligation. We are all called to preach the gospel, period. The Bible says in Mark 16, 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. God did not say, go ye only you missionaries and preach the gospel. He didn't say only the select few can do that and the rest stay home and just pray for those who go. No, he says to every Christian that has ever existed, go ye and preach the gospel. Being a missionary is another thing that people might say, that being a missionary might be too dangerous for me and my family. Like I talk about the dangers and the fear. Yeah, it might be dangerous. John 15, 13, if you can quickly turn there. If you can't, I'll just read it real quick. I know I'll get through this. 15, 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend. Friends, excuse me. Yeah, greater love no man hath than this, than laid down his life for his friends. Christ laid his life down for us. He called us his friends. He loved us. We should do the same. We should do the same. Maybe somebody will say, well, missionary work is old-fashioned. That's for the Hudson Taylors of the time. That is no longer needed. We got internet. We got radio. We got so many other ways to get the gospel out. The Bible never said rely on technology. Bible says, go and preach. Go and preach. Romans 10 said, go and send. Preachers, they need to go. You're not going to hear unless they hear, unless they're being sent. Who? Preachers. People. Individually. Personally. The gospel will never be old-fashioned, brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord for that. The gospel is never old-fashioned. People today are still getting saved. People today. Still saying, I need something. I just don't know what it is. And that's our responsibility to take it to them and say, I got it for you. And the last thing that I say, I'm not qualified to be a missionary. Qualified. What does that even mean? Qualified. What? You don't have a tongue? You don't have legs? I can bet you there are people who don't have hands and legs, and yet they still preach. Nick Vujicic, for example, goes all over the country, all over the world, preaching the gospel of Christ. What does it mean I'm not qualified? I don't get that. What are you saying? You're not as qualified as a veteran missionary? Are you comparing yourself now? Are you saying, well, I'm not like him, so I can't do what he does? Man, if we did that, we would never go because, man, I would never measure up to Brother Lindell or Brother Billy or Brother Brent or my dad or any other missionary if I had thought of that way. But they were in my shoe one times too. They also had to look and say, well, I want to go. Well, I'm not as qualified as some other veteran missionary that I looked up to. They would not have gone if they would have compared themselves. Said, oh, I'm not qualified. What does that mean? That's just a cop-out. Yeah. That's an excuse. I'm not qualified. Yeah. You are qualified. Are you saved? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Do you have the gospel handy in your hand? Do you have a tongue? You have a word? You got eyes? You got feet? You got hands? What hinders you from preaching the gospel? Amen. What is it? You are qualified. Christ saved you and gave you an order. Go and preach. Galatians 1:10. I gotta say this. Galatians 1:10. It says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Who are you trying to please? Who are you trying to please when you say I'm not qualified? Are you trying to be piously humble? Say, I'm not qualified. No. Are you waiting for someone to say, yes, you are, encourage you? Or are you just trying to get out of your duty? Who are you trying to please, men or God? Our duty is to be a servant of God. Servant of God follows the command of his Lord. He has no choice. He has no rights. He has to obey or else. But very often we have our rights. Oh, these rights. Yeah, I have my rights. And kids have their rights. And everything. And dogs have their rights. And cats have their rights. And everything has its rights now. You have the right to obey. You have a right to follow God. If he's given you salvation, you have a right to do what he says. If you're contemplating, if you're called to be a missionary to a foreign field, ask yourself some questions. Do I love the Lord? Am I willing to obey him completely? Am I preaching the gospel where I am? Am I doing the work where I am? Am I faithful to my church and all its functions? Do I desire to see souls saved? If you say yes to all of those, you're qualified. You're qualified. You now have I'm now allowing you to agree to this and say, okay, I fit the terms. I am qualified. Just don't use that as a cop-out to ignore God's calling. Last thing, forgetting our responsibility is another reason why it hinders from them being Christians surrendering to the mission field. Revelations 2:4. Thank you for your patience. Revelations 2:4 says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Have you left your first love? Have you forgotten the love of God, the love of Christ that was given to you? The abundance of love and salvation that God presented to you. Have you forgotten? Have we forgotten what he has done for us? 1 John 3:16 says, it's not too far away from Revelations, says like this, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Hereby perceive we the love of God. He laid down his life for us. I believe many Christians are not doing their duty because they forgot the responsibility that they have. Comforts of this life have completely blinded us. The comforts of this life. And I believe many Christians are happy when someone else is doing the work. We're happy. I was talking to, I think it was Nathan, Constanzo today and talking to him about how it is to work in Bill Miller's. And I remember 18 years ago, working in Bill Miller's. I remember those days. And he's working there too. And we had a good time talking. And, you know, he was saying it's just frustrating when you're out there, you're working, and your boss says, go do this and go do that. And there are other people talking and just enjoying themselves in the back room because they're over there just having a good old time drinking and having a good old time talking. And you're out there going from station to station to station trying to keep things working. Brother Don said, we need laborers. We need laborers. We cannot do it all. There are fewer and fewer missionaries on the mission field. That's just a fact. What is hindering you from joining and coming and helping? What is hindering? What should you do if you feel like you like to surrender to the mission field? What should you do? I'm going to give you some good advice. Don't let anything or anyone hinder you from following God's calling. God's calling you. God's pulling at your heart. God's touching you. Don't run away. God will not let you run away too far. Right, Brother Don? He'll keep calling you. He'll keep pushing you. He'll keep pushing those buttons. And you can try to Jonah and try to run as far as you can, but God's gonna get your attention. The sooner you listen to his calling, the better it will be for you. God's calling someone. I don't know who it is. God's calling someone. Don't let fear dictate what you should or shouldn't do. Ask the Lord for wisdom. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You lack wisdom? Wisdom? Who doesn't lack wisdom? Every single one of us. And he says that God giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Third thing you can do is talk to someone who has experience in it. You want to be a missionary? Talk to someone who was a missionary or who is a missionary. Talk to those who have experienced it. The Bible says where no counsel is, the people fall. But a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Talk to people. Talk to those who have been there. Read missionary biographies. They'll encourage you. They will kind of shame you into saying, what am I doing? They did so much back then when they had so little to give. And they gave all. They gave families. They gave children. They sacrificed. And there was no way of getting back home once they left. Some of them never came back. They died over there. Sacrificed their life for those who needed it. And we're here in the comforts of our home saying, let somebody else go, not me. I hope that there's someone here willing. Go on a missions trip. Come and visit us. Hey, I can count on a hand how many people have come and visit us in Poland. We love it when you come and visit. We'll take you around. We'll show you the sights. We'll take you to places. It's amazing, right, Brother John? It's amazing when people come and just enjoy and see. It's encouraging for you and encouraging for us. It's amazing. Come and join. Come and see. Spend time with some missionaries or former missionaries and talking to them. How about you? Are you letting something hinder you from being a missionary, from preaching the gospel? I hope not. I hope that tonight, every one of us, someone will think and consider, is it possible? Is it a possibility that God is calling me? I don't care how old you are. You know, they sent me out as a young missionary, not even married. Hey, God can provide. 3 weeks later, I found my wife. I'm not saying it happens every time. But I know that I found a Magda and Corey found a Magda and it was pretty amazing. Merciful God. I don't know. A lot of missionaries found foreign wives. Think about it. Just saying. Not many people want to go. Not many women are willing to go. But there are women, there are men who are waiting, who want
to hear the gospel. There are people over there waiting, saying, what's taking you so long? Stop letting things hinder you from following God's order. Amen.